Daniel and his friends found themselves in a foreign land, where many of the teachings that they were taught at home were threatened. But regardless of that, they remained standing. They stood for God and stayed true to the values and teachings that they had been taught at home. Now the student who is far from home also finds themselves in the very same situation, whereby they are in a different place to which they are used to, and the teachings and values to which they were taught at home are threatened at every single turn. So, how do they remain standing? How do you remain standing just like Daniel and his friends? How do you stay true to the values and teachings to which you are taught at home while you are very far away? Well, find this out and more on this episode of the Youth 412 podcast. All right, Sidel, thank you very much for joining us for today's episode of the Youth 412 podcast. I mean, the last time you were here, you didn't really tell us much about yourself. So can you just please share a little bit about yourself, you know, what it is that you do, how you're studying, you know? Yeah, can you just please share all of that with us so that we can get to know you a little bit more?
Okay, thank you, Linda. So basically, I am a fifth-year medical student at the University of Cape Town. So that's what I'm trying to do and finish now by the grace of God. And I also happen to be the chairperson of UCT Stelzum. So I really like doing that. That's basically it. I'm still trying to find my purpose and everything here in this world, but I trust God that he'll direct me, basically.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that. And perhaps, how is it, you know, being part of STASM, and being, you know, someone who is in a leadership position, training for perhaps when you get out to be a leader in the church? How has that experience been for you?
Wow. Being a leader in the church. It's interesting to say the least. It's very interesting. I feel like when you're like the role that I'm doing as chairperson, it's like you do more admin stuff, and I'm more of a hands-on, let's go get 'em type of person. So that's interesting. So there's that. So you mostly do background work. Which is like, I mean, yeah, that's fine. And also, it's very important to be like, you know, a good role model to people. You have that responsibility because you're like, what you do and how you live can also influence other people's salvation. So that's something the Lord's, you know, been impressing in my heart lately. And yeah, I mean, it's a cool, interesting job. I mean, UCT Stelzum is absolutely amazing. The people here love Jesus. They're serious. They're present truth people who are, it's amazing to see such young people who love God like this. It's amazing.
I mean, that is so interesting. And the fact, I mean, I love STASM, even though I haven't really been part of one, but I have attended a few sessions, and, you know, I really think that it is training ground for the next generation of leaders in the church and, you know, the church of tomorrow. So it's really great to see young people leading themselves and continuing to do God's work, especially since you are far away from home. The fact that you are continuing or staying true to what you are taught is something which is basically relevant to what we are talking about today. And perhaps linking that, you know, with this topic of today, which is about staying true to your home values, why is it difficult for people, or why is it easy for people to lose themselves when they are, you know, far away from home, when they get to university and they are in a totally different environment?
So for me, I would say number one is that people don't really lose themselves. They just find out who they really are, okay? And I'm not to say people are terrible people or something, but a lot of the times, the things you do or what you values you have, okay, are not your actual values. They're your parents' values. They're your family's values. And you just do them because that's the only thing you know, okay? And a lot of the time, growing up, we don't have a real, you know, a powerful, born-again, life-moving, you know, relationship with Jesus, okay, just from being taught by mouth what to do and then emulating what our parents do, né? So a lot of the time when you come out to universities or whatever you go far away from home and you are surrounded and bombarded by all these influences, né? You'll adopt them, okay? And sometimes it takes God teaching you through these, you know, bad habits you adopt, and then you reaching maybe a hard place in your life for you to actually develop a relationship with Him and for you to actually make this religion or this relationship with Jesus your own, you know? So I think it's not a matter of, you know, this person was once a good, good person and then they just, you know, went out of it. It's more of this person is finally being tempted and experiencing things they've never experienced at home. And you know, sometimes God allows us to fall into those temptations or allows us to be tempted so that we can realize that, you know, there's sins we haven't actually conquered, or there are things that in order to improve our relationship with Him, so we can have like a real relationship with Jesus, not just one that's, you know, given to us by our parents, I would say, if that makes sense.
Well, it totally makes sense. I really love that, you know, that people aren't losing themselves, but rather they are finding out who they really are, because it's so easy for you to do the right thing if you are at home and your parents are watching you. But when you're far away from home, that's when it becomes much easier for you to then do whatever it is that you want. And perhaps that's where God wants us to be, so that He can show us the way back to Him, whereby we can find Him by ourselves. Because I think there is a danger, as you are saying, that we make this religion is not our religion but our parents, we haven't really fallen in love with Jesus, which is why it becomes so much easier for us to, like, you know, go astray when we are not under our parents' watch. Perhaps, you know, what is I think that the danger perhaps of not staying true to one's home values, you know, what is the danger that comes that is associated with you just throwing out everything that you are taught at home when you are not close to home?
The dangers are you're gonna reap what you sow. So, I mean, I feel like for me personally, leaving home, I feel like I was still not in a full relationship with Jesus yet. And there are things I had to discover on my own while I was here in Cape Town that I couldn't have, maybe, hopefully the Lord would have made a way, but I wouldn't have discovered if I was still with my mom. But, okay, so there's that factor. But then also there are small things that you still always keep with you from childhood, that will continually ring in your mind that, Sadel, should you be doing that? Sadel, should you be drinking alcohol? Sadel, should you be, I don't know, all these crazy things, you know, people do nowadays. So I thank God for that voice. Yes, I was not fully converted. I still had those voices ringing in my ear to help me avoid such situation. Praise the Lord for that. And I mean, people are reaping really, like, there are people I know who do drugs and now they have like some type of drug induced psychosis and they can't study anymore. I know people, I mean, there's so many bad things, people whose lives were put on pause because maybe they had a baby You know, so many of these things happen there. Thank God that he can still redeem you from these things. You know, praise God for him being such a faithful and merciful God. But, I mean, there are just so many just basic things that our parents tell you that we can still cling on, even though we haven't been fully converted, that save us, that keep us in a safe space. And I would say that, you know, lots of those things, yet me having not been converted, those lessons my mother gave me, I would say they cocooned me and kept me in a safe space while the Lord was trying to mold me to be his, I would say, yeah.
Wow, that's so powerful. And, you know, I really thought of Samson as you're talking about all of this, the fact that his parents had taught him everything that God had, you know, given them as, you know, how he should live. And they told him that, and they had done everything they could to mold him and his character into what God wanted him to be. But Samson immediately loses himself as he grows up. He starts to see women in Timnah, and he completely forgets his parents' teachings, and he does not listen to anyone. And when everything has happened, he reaps what he sowed, as you were sharing with us just now. He loses his power, he loses his strength, and he is captured by the Philistines. But one thing that you said, and which I loved the most about what you said, is that redemption is still there, even if you have fallen. God still has a way to bring us back to him, just like Samson. I don't know how to pronounce Samson in English. Samson. I don't know. But anyway,
Samson. Yeah.
He was able to be redeemed after he had fallen. God still, you know, heard his cry. And I guess to anyone who's listening right now, redemption is still there. Even if you have gone astray, even if you've been lost, there is still a way back home. Before I turn this into a sermon, perhaps, you know, looking at the stories of Joseph, Daniel, and his friends, one of the most beautiful stories, I believe, in the Bible. Those guys, you know, were far away from home, yet they stayed true to their home values, though many times whereby their characters could have been compromised, yet they remained standing in their truth. And perhaps just to ask you, how are we able to remain standing even while, you know, the people we came with are bowing down in a metaphorical, figurative manner? How do we stay true to those home values, those teachings, which you know, are beneficial for us as Christians in a foreign place? Yeah.
You know, I want to say, yeah, you need to read your Bible. You need to pray. You need to stay close with, make sure you nurture your relationship with God, name. But I don't know. I would say, like, you need people praying for you, because there are times you're not in the right mind. You're literally just out of your mind that you cannot, you don't know that you have to pray for yourself, Ned, because you're in the world, Ned. So I would say, personally, my mom's prayers, whoever else was praying for me, I am so thankful for them. There's literally power in prayer that literally, even before I had any type of conversion, those people's prayers were what was helping me. Literally, what was sending angels down from heaven to direct me in a path that's closer to God. Né? So I would say, not necessarily with me, but just with other people, if you have someone who you feel like is going off the rails, pray for them every single day. Love them, pray for them. I think because, I mean, I feel like, I have developed a genuine relationship with God, and I'm so thankful for that I've started reading my Bible, I've started praying, now. But it's even grace that I started doing that. It's even grace that I've developed the relationship that I've had with God now. And it's like, I mean, there was literally a point where I would say like, I was allergic to reading the Bible. Like I would always find something better to do, né? And it's like, how do you even get to that point where you're actually in the Word every day? You're actually on this higher spiritual level, and praying with power. And I would say, literally, it's grace. It's the prayers of my mother. It's literally all of that has, that saved me. So I know this is a weird answer, but prayer, 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 and more prayer.
Wow. Prayer, prayer, and more prayer. I really love that someone is praying for you. And I really love that part that we should pray for other people as well. Not only that your grace is what has kept us here. Grace is what has allowed us to create that, to have that relationship with God. And you did speak about Stasim. You being a part of Stasm, not only that, but being a leader, which is something which is very, very awesome. And so I just want to know from you that the role that organizations like Stasm or going to church frequently, regularly, while you are far away from home, what role does that have in nurturing your spiritual life and keeping you in the right path, I guess?
I would say it is extremely, extremely, extremely important to find a spiritual home. When I first came to Stasm, I realized that, okay, there's definitely something that I'm missing that these people have here in their spiritual lives. Okay. They showed me that, okay, I have a gap in my life, in my relationship with Jesus. That like I need a fix, né? Just having a spiritual family to build each other, to confess your sins to one another, to admonish one another in love. It's amazing, and to just be supported, to have people share, their stories with you and their growth stories with you, and how you can also gain the power and victory over those struggles or sins you might be struggling with, So I would say, yeah, just having a community of faith is so important. I'm so thankful for this guys. I'm like I don't I say this all the time, but I am so in love with Stasm. Like I love Stasm so much because literally I would say if it weren't because of Stasm, like I don't think I'd be as close as I am with God now. Just because there are just so many people I saw and I was like, no, this girl, there's something she has about her and her spiritual life that I also want. Like, what is she doing? So yeah, I would say it's crazy important to have a family of faith, 100%.
Wow, I really love that, and I am so jealous right now, because I really want that as well in my life. And it goes back to that power of association, going back to what we spoke about in the first season about choosing the right people to surround yourselves with, choosing the right friends, people who bring you closer to God. And perhaps how deliberate should we be when it comes to actually associating ourselves with the right people? How like what should we do to be deliberate in that? I don't know if I'm asking this question the right way, but
I get it.
I'm trying to like ask like should we seek out like actively the people who are right for us, or should we just allow things to just happen naturally, if there is such.
I mean, I think both. There's a time and place for each one. So, like, by the grace of like everything in my life feels like is I feel like it's by the grace of God where He puts people, good influences in my life, né? But also there are people that weren't good influences good influences in my life, and God organically just took those people out of my life without me having to cut anything. And there are people who I would say were very much needed to be removed by the firm hand. Otherwise, they were going to influence my salvation negatively, influence my relationship with God negatively. Né? So I feel like everything, obviously, in prayer first, pray. And then God will show you when and what to do when it comes to the different people in your life. But most of the time, it's just the people leave organically. It's like once you start changing, you become more like Jesus, you start to hang out more with people who you're like-minded with. And then other friends just tend to not find, maybe the Jesus in you attractive, sadly. I mean, you evangelize to these friends, obviously, you love them, but these things just happen sometimes. So a lot of the time, I would say it's organically. In some really bad situations, it takes the firm hand to remove them. It's not pretty, but everything in prayer and through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I think. Yeah.
Mm. Yes, indeed. And, I really would like to ask you one more question. I am so sorry. And this is okay, not necessarily related to this. I mean, to some extent it is, but I'm asking for other reasons as well. In terms of your personal devotional life, what does that look like for you, and how do you maintain a strong, personal devotional life? Because some of us do struggle with that. So can you just please share your experience or your
My personal devotion life. So I would say, looking at my own life, the first thing I realized was that okay, so that you're not reading the Bible. Maybe that's why you are in the condition you are in right now, and you feel like you don't have purpose, and you feel like everything's going haywire. So maybe let's just give God a try. Let's start reading the Bible and see what happens. Okay, so obviously thank God that there's something called the Sabbath school lesson. So that's always the first place anyone can go. So started reading the lesson every single day, And I was like, okay, man, reading the lesson is actually a good thing. Like, we should read our lessons all the time. And then slowly, the Sabbath school lesson wasn't enough content. Okay, now the Sabbath school lesson isn't just, I need more. I'm finishing the whole lesson in one day now. I need more. I crave more, okay? That's the Holy Spirit working in your heart, man. Then I got their VOP Discover lessons, those blue thingies. Those are amazing. To any person who hasn't done those lessons, who knows of them, go and do them. Absolutely amazing. They will change your life. And, that's amazing. So those Discover lessons. And then the Spirit of Prophecy books, The Desire of Ages, The Great Controversy. I'm reading Acts of the Apostles now. Those are absolutely amazing. Great Controversy was so good, bruh. I can't believe I had that book my whole life just sitting there. And I only read it now. I was so angry about that. Number one thing. I felt in the beginning like there was always something I could do that would, I'm busy. So always something I can do rather then read the Bible, okay? And then the Lord made things go badly in my life to the point where I just was like, okay, I need to try doing something now to fix this. And I think I'm lacking spiritually, so let's give God a try and see whether we can fix this by reading the Bible and praying more often. And there is just something reading the Bible. By beholding, you become changed. The content you put in front of you will change your life, literally. Just reading the Bible from someone who was allergic to reading the Bible to someone then who became obsessed with reading the Bible. That's literally the grace of God. That's literally what being born again is. being born again in the spirit is like, you like, how did it exactly happen? You don't know, but you know that it's, you know, it's happened. That's how the Holy Spirit works. That's how Paul, all of a sudden went from Saul to Paul. Okay. It was just boom, boom. How did it happen? We don't know, but that's how the Holy Spirit works. And that's what Jesus says. But in, John 3, when Nicodemus asks, how can a man be born again? Jesus is like, through the, water and through the Spirit. And he's like, this is what's up with the people who are born with the Spirit. At first, you know, they're like the wind, basically. So this is how the Spirit works. You see the wind blowing, but you don't know from where it came from or where it goes. These are like they, this is like they who are born of the Spirit. And it's basically, you can see the wind, like you can see it blowing the trees and everything, but you can see that it's blowing trees around. You can feel it on your face, man, but you can't see the wind exactly, man. So now it's the same with the Spirit. You can see the Spirit working. How it exactly works, not sure, but you know it's there, né? And you can see the difference. And I would have to say that's literally what happened in my life. It's literally grace, grace, grace. But God, like, it's so important that you just say, God, I have no other option. Like, you are my only options. Like, this is it. I'm going to open my Bible every day. Help me to open my Bible every day. Plead with God to change you. Like, that is the most important thing. You cannot change yourself. You cannot pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Number one thing I would say is literally pray, plead, fight with God and say, help me, God. I am literally a pathetic human being. I can't even open to read one page. Help me, because it's that bad. And God will work a miracle if you're pleading and praying for his will to be done in your life. And literally, it's that God will change you. You'll become obsessed with him. He will be your love, your everything. Just to hear his words, to read the word, it will be the only good, nice thing in your life. Honestly, that's just I've been talking forever. But yeah, that's honestly it for me. Plead with God to help you. Even praying was an issue. Plead with God to help you to pray, but then that's praying too. You know, it's interesting. It's very interesting. But no, God will help you. God is doing everything possible in his power for you to be saved, man. So just, you know, under your breath, you know, for a few seconds, just say, God, help me. He will come. Yes, he'll help you. Yeah, that's what I have to say.
Lord, help us. Lord, help me, please. That is my prayer. I hope it's yours too. Thank you very much, Sadell, for joining us for today's episode of the Youth for Tough podcast. Thank you to you who is listening. Please go pray for God to help us as young people to be better, to stay true to what we were taught, to the Christian values that were instilled in us while we were young. But not just that, if we have been lost, for God to bring us back to him. I hope that you have heard this message and that it has transformed you. Thank you, Sadell, for allowing God to use you. Thank you very much. See you next time, same time, on the Youth for Talk podcast. My name is Noah Shemsan. See you next time on the Youth for Talk podcast. Remember, young people, to never let anyone look down on you. Set an example to other young believers. Conversation, word, and spirit, and in love, faith, and purity. Good night, and God bless. Don't forget to share this episode with your friends, family, or whoever it is that you can share it with. And please do subscribe to the podcast so that you don't miss any episodes which are coming in future. And we're inviting you guys to join us for our church tours. We have started with them and they've been so amazing. And we would like to see you guys, the Youth for Tough family, joining us and being part of the wonderful programs that we have in store for you guys. To find out where our next church tour will be, check out our Instagram page at youthfortough_ZA and make sure that you follow us so that you don't miss anything that we'll be sharing with you guys. Thank you for listening. Take care.